Next item on the agenda is report and possible discussion on a report. Technical consultant update, presentation from Half Associates. And I do want to point out that today is really a great day as far as I'm concerned, because we're really getting started. I think we're good kickoff from Sam, our technical consultant, and give us a little bit of direction as to where we're heading. So Sam, it's really great to have you here with us this morning.
Thank you. Sorry about this. Let me pull up my slideshow. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here with you today. My name is Sam Hinojosa with Half Associates, and I want to give you a presentation about the Lower Brazos flood plan. And let me get to my agenda this morning. So there's an opportunity for us to get to know you and for you to get to know the team that will be working with you to complete this effort. And I want to introduce you also to some of the our talk about the flood planning process, major deliverables, and our schedule, and get some feedback from you on that and some stakeholders that we want to start engaging and talking to. And then also want to get some feedback on a public engagement process that we've laid out in our data collection efforts that will be getting underway soon. So let me introduce the Half team. Half Associates was selected by the group to perform this effort, and we're really excited about the opportunity to work with you in this. It's a very
Looks like Sam froze.
Sam.
With Sam having frozen, Pam, it looks like I skipped completely over you on item number six. So while Sam pulls himself together a little bit from a technical standpoint, you broke up on us for about 2 minutes.
I'm sorry. Well, let me get back to this. Did you guys catch this? The objectives.
Yeah, let's go back over those again.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I did hear my computer maybe ringing. Somebody was trying to call me on Teams, so I apologize for that. So really what we're going to accomplish today is to get to know you and for you to get to know the Half team and to introduce you and talk about some of the planning process, major deliverables, and the schedule that we've laid out for at least to get to the January deadline. Get feedback from you on major stakeholders, those who we want to engage in the process to collect information. As you can see, Region 8 covers a large region. There's a lot of counties and communities in our region, and a lot of information is needed to complete this plan. And then get some feedback on public engagement and the data collection process that we've laid out initially to engage the public, as I said, and to collect this information that we need to complete this plan. So let me go over the team. This is the Half team. We're excited to work with you in this effort. It's really something that's very important to the state of Texas and very important to this region. And so our team is Half Associates is the prime. That's who I work for. And with us, we have Friesen Nichols, Torres and Associates, H2O Partners, and Susan Roth Consulting. Each of these team members has provided significant work in the basin. They have experience working with many of the communities across the region. So we have a great team that has a lot of resources and background in this region to help work with you on this. A little about Half Associates. We've worked in flood control for more than 70 years and have a really good understanding of what it takes to control flood. And in a sense, you almost want to say not flood control, but flood management, right? Controlling floods is one thing, and managing floods is really what the goals are here for the plans. Half Associates has over 1,000 employees. We've been serving Texas since the 1950s. And so we're just excited to be continue working with here in the state of Texas. It's just a great opportunity to work with this wonderful group. get a little more specific into the members of our team. As I said before, my name is Sam Hinojosa. I've been with Half Associates for 17 years. And with me, I have Scott Rushing, who is our deputy project manager. He's worked with Half for over 12 years and brings a lot of experience as well in flood management. And Aaron Tooley is not with us this morning, but he is one of our lead planners at Half Associates and brings many years of experience. And he's going to lead the efforts for us on planning and outreach, which is important for this effort. When looking at the work that needs to be accomplished for the plan, we broke it down into three phases. Looking at phase one is risk assessment and mitigation management. And I just listed here some of our team members who are going to be helping in these different efforts from the different firms that are helping us with this. In phase two, we'll be looking at regional flood plan development, and I'll get into a little more detail on what that involves from the scope side. And phase three is communication and public involvement. And really, phase three is ongoing through the whole process. We're looking at communication all throughout and involving the public along the way. And once we've put together the plan, looking at adopting the plan and moving that forward. Now, I have your names here as I get to know you and the interest categories you have. And the reason I have this list here is these interest categories are important to the success of this plan. When these were assigned by the board, they felt like there was a lot of importance into representing all of these categories. So as you consider your categories that you represent, please provide us feedback along this process as we work together. It's important for you to bring information you have and what your categories, their interests are in the planning process. We've got to work together to get this moving in the right direction for it to be successful. So I just have this here just to point that out with you, and I'm glad to meet all of you and to see all of you today. So let me talk a little bit about the flood planning process that we're gonna go down. And I just wanna make sure that everybody's still here. Everybody can still hear me. We still good?
Yes, we're fine.
Thank you. So, well, I wanted to start just by talking a little bit about the differences between the flood planning process and the water planning process. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but really, you know, the water planning process has been ongoing for quite some time now. And the flood planning process for the state is new. It's really started with Hurricane Harvey, just really opening up all of our eyes, right, to a lot of the things that need to be looked at from regional planning instead of just local planning, looking at the big picture and bringing communities together. Water planning looks at political areas and boundaries, but watersheds don't consider political boundaries. Water goes where water is going to go based on terrain and other factors. And so the flood planning process is looking at a watershed-based approach. Flood planning is also looking at risk-based assessments versus the water planning side, which is looking at needs-based. And while, yes, there are needs that need to be addressed in the flood planning side, we are looking at the risks and the return events and then how, when will areas flood and what type of storm event will cause that type of flooding. The flood planning process looks at the percent change of occurrences I just talked about, while water planning is looking at the drought of record and looking at addressing droughts. Water planning is looking at urbanization, looking at land use and how land use is affected by impervious area and changes in land use and how that impacts flooding. And water planning is looking, while it looks at urbanization as well, but it's looking at the population growth and the needs to address that growth in population. And water flood planning is looking at resilience and how to recover from disasters, from flood disasters. Well, water planning looks at resilience as well and recovery, but is looking at conservation of water. And flood planning is funded by disaster recovery as one avenue of funding, really. But there it's not always a funded. The flood planning doesn't always have funding tied to it, immediate funding available, where water planning is funded and by local communities being able to raise funds and pay for their projects, or, you know, also looking at obtaining grants and loans. There are some differences between the two. The flood planning process is new and is getting started, and there's going to be some things to learn along the way. I want to set some expectations for this effort. The flood plan will not solve the flooding, but will look at reducing future flooding and will also help mitigate existing flooding in the future, right? So looking at reducing what happens down the road by setting goals and policies in place, but also start looking at mitigating the existing issues that are here today. The success of the plan is going to be based on a lot on the data that we collect and we're able to receive from the public and from the stakeholders. And so there's a lot of information that's needed, so participation is important. But it's important to point out too that at least in this first round of the floodplain, that no new floodplain map modeling and mapping is expected. A region participation is very important, as I mentioned before. It's needed for the success of the plan. There's a limited budget and a very tight schedule. So participation from stakeholders is very, very important. So we'll be reaching out to our stakeholders and participants to get as much information as possible, as quickly as possible. I just want to share some of the likely outcomes just to consider here, that there are a lot of flood problems that will be apparent to many that will require additional study. Just because an area floods doesn't mean all the knowns, all the reasons why flooding occurs is known, and additional evaluations will need to be done. Flood management evaluations may need to be done to address those things. Another likely outcome is perhaps that there will be few flood management projects that are in place or that are on that people have already prepared that may not meet the criteria at this point to move forward in the next phase. So I just want to set some of these expectations, but we will work to address all these that we can to make sure the plan is successful. Looking at the scope of work, as I mentioned before, it's broken down into three phases. Risk assessment and mitigation management really consists of the first four tasks: describing the area and getting understanding of the region, evaluating the existing conditions and the future condition risks, looking at the flood management practices across the region, and people across the Brazos do things differently, and the way flooding occurs upstream part of the basin is different from how it occurs in the downstream part of the basin. So looking at how to bring the different management practices together will be something we'll have to work through, and there'll be a lot of discussion on. Setting flood management goals is also something that's going to be really important. And what does that mean for the entire region? Looking at the needs and the gaps across the region and identifying the evaluation strategies and projects that would need to move forward. And that will be, that first phase will be wrapped up into a technical memorandum, which will be provided to the public as well as to the group for review, going to the Texas Water Development Board as well for review. Moving on into the second phase is looking at those evaluation strategies and projects, making recommendations, looking at the impacts of the regional plan throughout the entire region, the impacts to water supply, also looking at flood response information activities. Everybody's at different levels at how they respond to floods. Not everybody has all the technology that they need to be able to respond to an event. While others may have a lot of information and ability to do that. And so we want to look and assess that across the region. And then provide some recommendations on the administrative side, regulatory, and legislative side, so that we know what the path forward is. And then looking at those recommended evaluation strategies and projects and what funding is needed to finance these endeavors. Throughout this whole process, public participation is important. And so the first part of that phase three will be ongoing. But once we get through phase one and phase two, the plan adoption process is important. Here's a draft schedule, just really showing the key markers that we need to hit in January of next year, providing the technical memorandum summarizing the first four tasks, and then tasks 5 through 9. The draft report is due in August of next year, with the final report being delivered in January of 2023. I'll go a little bit more detail into some of the things we want to accomplish within the first technical memo. But once again, here are the key dates that we're looking at, January of next year, August, and then January of 2023. And these are things we need to keep in mind as we move forward to this process. So just getting a little bit into the details here of what is our look ahead. Let's look down the road through the rest of the year and see what it is that we need to accomplish and how we need participation from the group. So proposing in June to hold pre-planning meetings and begin our data collection process. In July, we'll look over, discuss the tasks 1 through 2 and provide an update on data collection efforts. In August, we'll start looking at chapter 1, provide that document to you, hopefully, so that you start reviewing it and as it describes the basin, get feedback from the group and the public, provide updates on task 2 and start looking at task 3. And then provide some draft coverage maps based on the data we've collected, provide that to the public for comment and review. Where is data missing? What other information? What projects have we not considered? Where are there gaps in flood risk that have not been addressed? That type of information. In September, we want to provide to you a chapter 2 for you to review, and that looks at the existing and future conditions assessment, and then start discussing region-wide minimum standards and how those can be moved forward. In October, start looking at or provide to you chapter 3 for review and approval, and then start talking about the approach to 4A and 4B. This is the looking at the different evaluations and strategies and projects. And so this is where we need some feedback from you and also from the public as to the approach for that. In November, looking at providing chapter 4 to you for review. That may push somewhat into December some, but that is a goal that we have to get that. And then finally, at the end of December, right around Christmas, nobody takes any Christmas break this year. We get to look and review that technical memorandum, which is due in January, right at the beginning of January of next year. So this just gives you a draft overview of how we need to move forward starting now through the end of the year. There's a lot to do in a short amount of time. So I have this slide here that just really lays out some of the responsibilities that I think that we should consider here. And from the group, what we need from you is support on engaging the public and stakeholders and identifying who those key stakeholders are, participating and preparing for meetings and workshops, getting feedback from the group as to how this information is to be presented and the best way to present it. Feedback on the deliverables that we provide to you, and then looking at the approval of those chapters, the technical memo, and the regional flood plans. There'll be a lot of reading coming for the group. And then finally adopting and submitting the regional flood plan. From the team, our responsibilities are to ensure compliance with the board's requirements and schedule. We want to guide and facilitate the planning process, facilitate public and stakeholder engagement. There's a lot of information to collect and sort through. And so we're really looking forward to receiving a lot of that data, all that data, and going through it and figuring out where it goes and how to fill in those gaps. Conducting the planning and technical analysis, and then preparing all the documentation that needs to be submitted to the group for review and ultimately to the board. There are several decisions that will need to be made along the way that we'll need feedback from the group on. And I'm not gonna go through each of these. The presentation is available to you. But just to point out a few of these is really deciding what constitutes major infrastructure that will be included in the plan. Looking at prioritizing and reprioritizing the mapping data as appropriate. That's the data that's available. There's a lot of flood mapping data that just overlaps each other, and looking into seeing what is the appropriate data to move forward with in the plan. Looking at what is an appropriate approach for future conditions and making recommendations on generating revenue to implement projects. There's a lot of decisions, a lot of discussion that will need to take place over our next several meetings. And we're here to guide you to this process, present to you the options and recommendations moving forward. So this is wanted to give you an idea of some of the feedback and examples of information that or decisions we'll be needing from the group. If I want to switch over and talk a little bit about the outreach and engagement and just go over what the plan is initially to start engaging the public and the stakeholders. And for the public and community outreach, really the goal here is to educate the public on why we are here, why we are doing this plan, and obtain feedback from them. And then also obtain information from the public as to where are their gaps in the data. While there are floodplain maps across the region, there are several counties that don't have flood maps at this point. But there are several, there's a lot of mapping that's available, a lot of limited detail mapping. And we would like to hear from the public is letting us know where they have flooded, where has flooding occurred across the region. And it may not even line up with a flood map. And this is good information for us to know. And we would like good representation from the public that stretches all across the region, not just in one area, but looking at the entire region. Just as you group members represent interest categories across the entire region, we also want public representation from across the entire region. So it's important to reach out to them. We also need feedback and engagement from the stakeholders. And the reason why we need this is we need to engage and educate them on why we are here also and why we are doing this and why they need to provide information to the plan so that it moves forward. Data collection is important. There's a lot of data that we need looking through the lists and the things that the board is looking for the plan. We need a lot of data. And I'll talk a little bit about how we propose to collect that information. We want feedback also from the stakeholders. And once again, we want them to represent communities all across Region 8. So I want to talk a little bit about the draft engagement plan for meetings. And I know that you have an agenda item after this to talk about the pre-planning meeting. So I just want to set this up a little bit for discussion. The purpose of the pre-planning meetings is to obtain feedback on what the public wants to see. With this type of meeting, a 14-day notification is required. And outreach can be done in different ways. And we're proposing a campaign through the website and also through social media. Also contacting local agencies and COGS and authorities to share meeting information. Put it out there for their residents and customers to be able to see what is happening and how they can get involved or how they can listen in. These meetings, pre-planning meetings, need to happen soon. And as I proposed earlier, happen in June. And what we want to do in this meeting is provide a presentation to discuss the region, describe the region as with the information we have, the plan expectations, the study goals, deliverables, the schedule, and then our data collection methods. We want to start this soon because we want to put that out there that there's a lot of data that we need, and we want to start receiving that as soon as possible. In these meetings, we'll collect and review public feedback. So these are our pre-planning meetings, which you'll talk about in your next agenda item. Along the way, there's public meetings. It's an opportunity to update the public on progress, obtain feedback on what we're doing, and then educate on flood planning. And these can also be done virtually. The outreach can be done through social media, websites. Once again, working with local agencies, COGS, and authorities to share meeting information. And at these meetings, public feedback may be obtained during the monthly meetings or during these meetings. So you have your public meetings as we have today. This is a public meeting. Anybody can attend. But we can also have meetings specific to what we want to update the public on. And I'm proposing that we consider 4 in-person public meetings across the region. Once we have completed Technical Memo 1, we've gone through describing the basin in task 1, we've gone through task 2, we have looked at the existing and future flood risk. We've gone through task 3 as we're looking at what management strategies are in place and looking at what goals need to be set. We've gone through task 4, we've looked and collected as many projects as can be shared and evaluations that are available. We take all this information, we put it into Technical Memo 1, and I'm proposing the first technical memo, and I'm proposing then in January that we then take this on the road and we go around through the region and we share this with the public and get feedback. We have maps presented and and where people can go and provide additional information and share this with us and provide feedback on all that we've pulled together at this point. So this can be discussed further, but this is something that I'm proposing as far as public meetings, in-person public meetings. And the documents, you know, each of these chapters, as we complete them, these chapters will roll into that technical memo. These documents will be posted online and maps will be available online for people to comment along the way as well. So that's our pre-planning meetings, and you'll discuss that in your next agenda item. Data collection is really an important part of what we're wanting to do here, and really we want to obtain this information for the plan and then share this documentation for comment. So we're working on a process by which to reach out to the communities to receive this information. And so we'll start with the data that the Texas Water Development Board has pulled together. They've pulled together a lot of data, which is really, really helpful. But there's also a lot of data that we need from the local communities. And so our process will be to contact these communities, these officials in person, you know, calling them on the phone, sending them email, and tell them our process for collecting this information. And then we'll have a web-based survey by which we would like for these communities, as they're able to participate in, to provide us information that is needed for the plan. And then utilizing a web-based digital, web-based data collection methods for which digital information can be, you know, dropped off and delivered to us, that we can collect all this information and put it in the format that is needed for the plan. And we understand that there will be folks that will need assistance in providing that information, and there may be, may not be digital data that can be shared, but there may be non-digital data. So working through the process by which to collect that information as well. Along the way, we'll be able to monitor who we receive data from and who we still would like to see if they have data. So we'll follow up with these folks to see where they're at and what information they might have to provide. So we'll have a list of what data we need and what we have pulled together so that people know what we're looking for. So it's information that they're just not guessing at, but it's specific information. So what are the next steps? Well, there's a lot of work to do in a short amount of time. We need close cooperation between the team, our team, and with the group. And some things that to consider is to who are the key stakeholders we need to start engaging. We're moving forward with looking at all of the cities and counties and districts that have information. We'll start reaching out to those folks so we can start collecting that. And if there's anyone else, I'll leave it to the group to start discussing that and bring that to our attention. And then looking at to what the future looks like for meetings, and I think you'll discuss that next or down the road. So a lot to do in a short amount of time, and we're just looking forward to working with you guys. So I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
A very excellent presentation, Sam. Thank you very much for bringing all of this to us to have a look at. So who has some things that anybody have any questions for Sam?
Sam, this is Glenn Lord. I'm part of the planning group. I think one of the things, and I'm sure you're thinking about it, is an education on expectations out of this work process, because planning does not equal execution, and need to make sure that nobody linearizes that and says every plan will be executed, but we need to manage that education as well for both us and the public. Just a thought.
Thank you.
Sam, this is Sujit.
Yes, Sujit.
Chair.
Okay. Yes.
Sam, I think you mentioned data drop for all the cities or agencies in terms of it. Are you planning to do something on similar lines for any public involvement if they want to put anything out on the website or something?
Yes, Sujit, that's a great question. So one thing we're looking at is having a GIS-based web map for people to, you know, draw a polygon or drop a pin and share some photos things like that, so they can share this information with us, so we can collect that. So that's what we're looking at kicking off.
Thank you, Sam.
What additional questions or comments do we have? Well, again, Sam, excellent presentation. Thank you so much for putting all of this together.